All right, welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, we welcome you once again to the car program, the Rabbi Rav car program. And yes, Abdul Haq, my brother, is revving it up on his way to the Kruger National Park. But alhamdulillah, he's going to give us approximately half an hour. And brother Adil is also with us online. We'd like to welcome Abdul Haq on the program. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khairan, Mawlana, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala has taken us so far safely. May dua we reach our destination safely, inshallah. And once again, jazakumullahu khairan to everybody who was involved in the achievement of the award that we received. Alhamdulillah, shukr alhamdulillah. And also congratulations to Mufti Musa Ji, who on the afternoon drive got his award as well. Jazakumullahu khairan to this Radio Islam and to all our listeners out there, because without our listeners it would not have been possible.
Jazakumullah for that. All right, so we'd like to welcome, don't forget the engineer. Engineer says don't forget him, her brother Salim on the other side. All right, see, without the engineers, nothing is possible. Alhamdulillah, you know, a lot of work going on behind the scenes here. And alhamdulillah, like our station manager gives the example, like all the members play in a very, very important role, like a car. If one part of the hack is not working, then what's going to happen is the car is going to stall. So all the wheels are needed, everybody's needed to make it a success. Allah bless everybody, inshallah, Aziz. I'd like to welcome Adil Mia on the program. Adil is on line number 2. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Adil.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and to all our listeners. Jee, alhamdulillah, jazakallah, Mosab, you know, we took this opportunity a couple of years ago to start out the Revitab program. You can still remember how we were choosing the name. And alhamdulillah, who would have thought that, you know, we could have come to such an achievement. So alhamdulillah, jazakallah to everybody, to all the listeners. I think the most important engineer, Salim, by yourself, Mosab, and Hafiz Abdullah also, you know, giving up the time. I mean, you guys are there most of the time, you know. I'm like the passenger in the bus, you know, coming in now and then. But alhamdulillah, Musab, as long as you could benefit people, that's the main thing, Musab. You know, we benefit mankind. The best amongst us is the one who benefit people. And alhamdulillah, so at least you could have assisted someone.
Yeah.
Sometimes you talk on the phone and you think no one's listening, but alhamdulillah, so many people, you know, you go out there now, people are congratulating you. You tell them, you actually listen to the program and say, yeah, we listen to you every Friday. So, you know, we take some things for granted, like they say, but alhamdulillah, it's a great honor, Mosab, to be with you guys on a Friday and talk about what we know. Sometimes, you know, we think we know it all, but alhamdulillah, every day we learn something new. And on the program, I also learn something new. So alhamdulillah, as long as the listeners out there benefit, jazakallah to them all, inshallah, let them keep on asking so we can keep on giving them the feedback, Mosab.
Inshallah, I mean, jazakallah for that. Yes, on that note, Adil, I think our station manager ought to give us a braai, and yes, his value, his expenses. Malana Haider Ali Donatsab.
I just met one of in the masjid.
Oh, you met him, mashallah.
So inshallah, maybe we can twist his arm there.
Gee, jazakallah. Alright, dear listeners, your forwarding program, give us a call, inshallah. It's 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 072-786-1548, 072-786-1548. And the other SMS number is 082-580-8070. It's 082-580-8070. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. Adil Abdul Haq, please, my brother, concentrate on the road wherever you're talking to us. And, gee, are you careful? Are you safe? Can you talk to us? Abdul Haq? Alright, anyway, brother, like you said, he's on his way to the Kruger Park, but we forced him, we asked him to give us just about half an hour. Allah reward him, inshallah. Adil, are you there, Adil? Okay, my brother, jazakallah. The question coming through, Adil, is with regards to Honda Civic. The brother wants to know that how much does the car repair shop charge to replace the rack and the pinion?
Most of the rack and pinion is a whole unit, so the part itself will be very expensive. The labor won't be much of a expense as far as the part is concerned, but to replace the whole rack and pinion, a new one, I think the last time I priced one was over 20,000 rand for the rack and pinion, Mosab.
Sure.
So if he's going to do it, I think maybe you should rather look at some alternatives, maybe in trying reconditioning it. Or maybe getting a used one, a good used one, that would be very feasible and more economical on your side. But replacing it with a new one is going to be a bit on the expensive side. So the labor, you're looking at about 1,500 rand for the labor to remove and replace, or maybe less than that.
Okay, lovely, Adil. The other question coming through is the brother's got a Mercedes Benz. Yes, you're a Mercedes Fundi. MashaAllah, congratulations to you as well, Adil. I just heard this morning that you also, I think, won one of the awards by Mercedes Benz. MashaAllah, be happy, my brother. I mean, inshallah, you've won some a trip, I believe, Adil.
No, Musa, we're actually going for some training overseas to learn more on the electronic side of the car. So, alhamdulillah, with that in mind, we know, like we say, inshallah, we'll try and save people a lot of money if this course comes through, inshallah, because at the end of the day, you know, our most of the motorists out there who have expensive cars, or even normal cars on the road, the replacement parts are coming really expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So, alhamdulillah, with this course, maybe we can try and repair the components that are damaged or broken, so it will be at a fraction of a price. So instead of replacing a new component, the components can be repaired at a fraction of a price, and we can save and benefit people by saving them some money and keeping them on the road, inshallah.
I mean, inshallah. Congratulations to you as well, mashallah. Yeah. I'll get the question coming through regarding Mercedes-Benz. It's, the brother says, I got a 2008 Mercedes-Benz. It doesn't say clearly C200 or C300. Anyway, it's got about 210,000 kilos on the clock. The brother asking, what oil should he use?
Most of the important factor when it comes to using of oil, it's important to know that what oil did he start using off in his engine in the first place. If he bought a Mercedes-Benz, then in all Mercedes-Benz vehicles are filled with 5W40 oil, which is a fully synthetic oil. So alhamdulillah, if the car has got that amount of mileage on there, so there couldn't be much of, so probably the car has been serviced by the dealership and it was under the motor plane. So alhamdulillah, and that's why he can continue using the fully synthetic oil. It won't be an issue. But he shouldn't downgrade the oil or use another lower viscosity or higher viscosity. Just stick to the 5W40. The name of the brand not important. As long as it's a fully synthetic 5W40, he should be okay, Mas.
Jazakumullah. Number to call for the program, Jalisnes, is 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. And also, alternately, 082-580-8070. Brother Salim is there to take on your calls. We're just waiting for Abdul Haq to join us shortly. Adil, Mercedes-Benz W203 C200 compressor. I think it's about a 2003 model. The brother says no crank, no start. He checked the fuses, the relays, but no luck. What could it be?
Most of it, if the vehicle is cranking and doesn't start, the fuses and relays are checked. The most common problem on those cars, Mons Abhi, is the timing chain actually wears out and the car cranks over but won't take. So the brother, like I explained a couple of shows ago about the diagnostic test, you know, on the modern day cars today, it's become so easy for the technician out there. He can plug in his diagnostic machine, and the diagnostic machine is a very helpful tool. If you not use it correctly, it can save you a lot of time and money. The going rate of a diagnostic test, normally technicians and motor repair shops out there are charging between 300 to 500 rand for a diagnostic test.
Yeah.
That should lead into this issue where the problem is. But the common problem on these cars is either the fuel pumps, they normally give a lot of problems, and the timing chain, like I said earlier, they normally wear out and causing the thing to slip and jump a teeth, therefore the engine not starting. Let's hope it's a fuel pump problem, because that's a bit more cheaper to do. But the timing chain problem, that can be a bit costly if you bend the valves or if the gears are even worn out. So most of the best way to do it, advice to the brother, is do a diagnostic test first, and that could lead into his problem.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Brother Abdul Haq is back with us on the line. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Maaf, Maulana, I'm in between the mountains, so I'm trying to get the best point where we can get some good reception. But alhamdulillah, let's hope you can hear me all the time. If it does happen, maaf for the inconvenience.
See, drive between the mountains, look for the kudus there. Adil, Abdul Haq.
No, I've got one gun stashed here.
Don't say too loud, Abdul Haq.
No, just a joke, Maulana.
Just a joke. Anyway, gee, let's continue, inshallah. Abdul Haq, the brother says, the question is, that Bosch says their tests have shown the new platinum plugs can improve fuel economy to approximately 5% over the other competitive spark plugs. What is your opinion, my brother? What is the best spark plugs to use, generally?
Very, 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 very important, very good question. Alhamdulillah, it is very, very imperative that we use the correct spark plug on every vehicle we drive. Maulana, I personally have worked out my own thing as far as spark plug is concerned. For the German models, all the German models generally, we use what we call the Bosch spark plug. When it comes to the Japanese models, I prefer using the NGK spark plugs, and generally all the other vehicles outside, not anything wrong, but we use the Champion spark plugs. The heat range on a spark plug is very, very, very important. You know, what happens is with that you can have sometimes hot starting, you can have pinking, you can have the fuel efficiency, everything. Alhamdulillah, with development research over time, you know, they've managed to come up with this new style of spark plugs, platinum spark plugs, which before, I mean, you had the 2-probe, you had the 4-probe spark plugs. All these are much more important, and they're making a big, big difference as far as the vehicle performances are concerned and things like that. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, the platinum spark plug is a little bit on the expensive side. But yes, the lifespan also on the platinum spark plug is much, much longer than your normal spark plug. So they are specified for certain vehicles. You can't just take a platinum spark plug and put it in your old Toyota Kentucky Rounda, because that spark plug hasn't been developed for that particular engine. So it's important that you use the right spark plug for the vehicle. And yeah, platinum spark plugs, brilliant spark plugs. Alhamdulillah, as I said, all the spark plugs over the time has been furthering and developing, with research, and only to improve the fuel economy of the vehicle and the performance of the vehicle.
JazakAllah. Adil, regarding a Fortuner, the brother says he was offered a Fortuner at 125,000 rands, a 2007 model. Price is approximately 125, yes, but the mileage is 280,000 kilos. It's a 2007 Fortuner 2x4 D4D.
Jim, most of the mileage is of a dice. In today's end time, the D4D is a proven engine also. So, I mean, for a D4D, I don't think you can call it high mileage, because those are very robust engines. They last a long time and do a good job. The price sounds fair, Mosab. I don't know, you more into know about the price of the car. That's what they normally go for, I think. But
yeah, it depends on approximately 125, you're right.
Yeah, so the price is fair. The mileage may be, if the car was serviced regularly, Mosab, like you say, you know, we've done the oil changes regularly, because you know the oil changes is the lifeblood of the vehicle. So if the oil changes are done regularly, then the mileage is really nothing, Mosab. The vehicle was taken very good care of. Inshallah, it will be okay for him, I think.
Yeah. You know, sometimes bargaining, Abdul Haq, I actually spoke to one brother some time ago, anyway, in Africa, and what he said is, you know, we offered him a price. He told me something. He said, you know what, Mohammed, I'm selling my car, not giving it away.
Yeah, this is
yeah. All right.
Look, today, unfortunately, or should I say fortunately, we have that little tool of bargaining and trying our best.
Mosab, it's in our blood, you know, you got to try, and you know, you go to Makkah and Medina also, they know you from South Africa, they know you're there to bargain, they give you the high price and you bargain them till the normal price, and you happy day, happy, and you walk out.
I think the brother says, Abdul Haq, maybe you can come in here, my brother. Someone is looking for a panel van budget. He's got approximately 150,000 rands to spend. What is your advice to him? Should he buy Hyundai H1, a combi? What's the latest on the market? He's got 150,000 rands. What is your advice? Abdul Haq? All right, anyway, inshallah, we're going to tell him later on. Abdul Haq, are you there, my brother? All right, anyway, line's not too good. Okay, let's hear from Adil. Adil, are you there, my brother?
Jim, what's up? Today, panel vans also, they've come a long way. There's so many on the market. The best thing to do is get feedback on, you know, what size of panel van he wants to buy. That the Hyundai is also very underrated, very good, very practical van to buy. You know, a lot of value for money in there. I know a couple of my friends who use them as delivery vehicles, and who are quite satisfied with the performance of the vehicles and the maintenance side of the vehicles. Like I told you, any diesel vehicle you buy, the most important thing on a diesel vehicle to remember is to change the oil regularly, most of. So inshallah, with 150,000, then I think personally, to go for a Hyundai or a Kia, that should give him a good service.
Oh yes, Kia as well, not forgetting Kia. Adil, with regards to rebuilding an engine, new crankshaft bearings, is it a must when rebuilding an engine?
Jim, most of new crankshaft bearings is a must to when you rebuild an engine. Even if they look good, most of you're going all that way, because what you must remember is if you're not going to renew the bearings And to get to the bearings after you've assembled the engine, you've got to repeat the whole process. So basically the whole engine has to come out again and strip down to get to the bearings again. So there are some good quality bearings out there which are not very overly priced. So inshallah, but in that way you could get away cheap with a good set of bearings and stick them in, and then you know it's done. Because, for example, you know, you're changing everything on the engine and you're leaving out the bearings. Not advisable.
All right, jazakumullah. All right, we continue to listen. You are tuned to Radio Islam International. It is 23 minutes past 8 o'clock. And Adil, a question coming through is Mercedes-Benz C230 compressor. It says it just stalls when driving for a while, refuses to start again. I need to remove a battery terminal for about 30 seconds and then reconnect it again, and then it will start again. What could this be? Possibly one of the sensors, Adil?
You know, so if you're disconnecting a battery and connecting it up again, my thoughts will go to the engine issue, most of it. The engine control unit could be an issue there, because maybe by disconnecting the battery and connecting it up again, it's probably resetting the ECU. So that's a bit of a strange phenomenon, because by disconnecting the battery and connecting it up again, that goes to all fingers pointing at the ECU, most of it. But we shouldn't overlook the other smaller things. I'm just jumping the gun and going to the most expensive component in the vehicle. So basically, most of, like we said earlier on, the diagnostic test is inevitable. You know, on the modern day cars, that should be your first step to start doing a diagnostic test. Or really, you're up there as a master technician where you don't even need a diagnostic tool. Just by listening to the engine, how it's sounding, you can actually go to the point. Most of, there are some guys out there, you don't even need a diagnostic tool. You just crank the engine, they hear how the engine sounding. They'll tell you exactly it's fuel, or it's a spark, or it's a bent valve, or it's a broken cam valve, or a timing chain. That all comes with experience, most of. So inshallah, in that way there, the diagnostic test should lead into this problem. But the way he's explaining, I think that fingers are pointing to the issue, most.
Okay, lovely. Jazakumullah. The brother wants to know, he wants to buy a 1999 Opel Corsa car. It's got 180,000 kilos on the clock. General condition is good. He says he's asking for 26,000 rand. It's a good price, my brother. If it's clean, not resprayed, engine running good. 26,000 rand for a 98-99 model. It is a good price for a Corsa. Yes, we continue, inshallah. And this question, Adil, for you as well. A 2000 Mercedes-Benz C230 compressor. The brother says he bought it about 5 years ago. The Metz airflow sensor was bad, so he changed that, made the car run like new. He says he also put in a new fuel filter. Now the car has heart trouble starting. It keeps dying, keeps stalling and lagging. Smells like dumping too much fuel, maybe. Can this be the Metz airflow again?
It all depends on the quality of mass flow sensor you put into the vehicle. There are many of them out there on the market, and there's some of the really poor quality most of. So depending on the price he paid, so basically if he paid under 1,000 rand, then he wasted his money, because the quality of those mass sensors, they're not of very good quality and they don't last very long. Remember, the main function of the mass sensor is what the name is. It actually measures the amount of air mass coming into the engine. It's a very criterion point of the engine, because that thing will actually feed the necessary information to the rest of the car's performance. So it's not going to measure the correct amount of fuel. Like you mentioned, it's definitely going to overfuel, and it's going to underfuel, and you're going to have all these sorts of problems, hard starting, spluttering, heavy on fuel, start cutting out. So the AMS sensor plays a very important role in the vehicle. My advice to the listener is spend a bit extra. There are good products out there. The Bosch products you can buy directly from Bosch. It's a very good product. Most of the motor manufacturers use it, and they can sort this problem out.
Lovely. Jazakumullah. Abdul Haq, my brother, are you there? Where are you? In the Kruger National Park? Are you on the road? Are you in the mountains? Are you hunting? What are you doing, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, I've got through the mountainous area now. I'm more on a flat surface, so inshallah, I don't think we should have a signal problem now. But if we do, Mawlana, I sincerely apologize.
All right. If there is any mountains ahead, take an alternate route, my brother. Okay. Abdul Haq, with regards to the wheel bearings, we spoke about it some time ago as well. The brother says he was told that the wheel bearings on the late model cars are sealed. It requires no maintenance or adjustments. Now, does that mean that they will last forever?
No. That is the one big misconception everybody has. As far as the wheel bearings are concerned, the older type of wheel bearings, what we call the cone bearings, they had some maintenance on them. and all that sort of kind of stuff. You had to remove them on services, grease them up, you know, clean them first. Obviously, we wash them out nicely with petrol, clean the grease off the old grease, you re-grease the thing, and with the result, alhamdulillah, you could repack grease in it and replace it. Then you got the other set of bearings, which came as a sealed bearing. And one of the sealed bearing requires no maintenance because obviously it's sealed, you know, it comes in sealed. They were also not too badly priced. But unfortunately now, Morana, what has happened is the newer vehicles, the manufacturers have now designed the seal in such a way, I mean the wheel bearing, that it's actually become part of your wheel hub and become a rather expensive exercise. You know, I mean, I looked at a Nissan Tira the other day, and the wheel bearings on that have gone up to about 900 rand a side. Mm. And that is on the pirate market, Morana.
Yeah, yeah.
That is rather expensive and I think ridiculous. But obviously for the manufacturer, it has changed his whole concept of making money. And with the result, obviously, the client's paying. I mean, you look at a Nissan Tira, it's a small vehicle. You wouldn't expect to pay much for something like that. But, Morana, this is the new way they've gone now as far as the wheel bearings are concerned. And no wheel bearings are going to last forever. In fact, I think I actually brought this up on the fishing program as far as the wheel bearings are concerned. Also on your boat, you know, the boat trailer or your vehicle trailer as well. Very important to use the right grease, the proper grease that is meant for the job. You know, you get a marine grease that is for the boat trailers, and you should make sure that you use the proper grease in it, because remember something, you are rolling the vehicle, the trailer into the dam as well. So it's very, very important that, yes, you use the correct grease then for the wheel bearing. Coming to the other point, which we used to have a lot of questions regarding the Mazda 323, the Sting, the old Ford as well, where they had the cone bearing in the front. And what used to happen there is people didn't adhere to the mechanics or whoever did the bearing didn't adhere to the correct tightening torque on the vehicle, and we were having wheel bearings that were wearing out rather quickly. You know, your brake pads actually lasted longer than your wheel bearings because of the incorrect tightening torque. So it's very, very important. You know, your rear wheel drive, you will find that, you know, the front bearings are normally a cone type bearing. Importantly, the adjustment must be done correctly. So the bearings obviously don't have too much of play on them, or they don't have too little play on them. You don't have any play with the result.
All right. Abdulhaq, is it advisable to use any oil, grease, or NTCs, or maybe some sort of lubricants of any kind when tightening the lug nuts?
When you're tightening the lock nuts, there is this very special, you know, chemical or whatever, what I call. It's actually it's called stud lock or nut lock. You buy it's a little box that you actually put on the threads of the vehicle, on the threads of the bolt, and you know, you tighten your nuts thereafter. But most of the wheel nowadays.
All right, there goes Abdulhaq in the mountains again, Brother Salim. Adil, are you there, my brother?
Sorry.
Adil, the brother says that. Gigi. Regarding the ABS warning light, the brother says, does it mean that once the ABS light comes on, that you will still have brakes although the ABS system is disabled?
Jimosav, the ABS is the anti-lock braking system of a motor vehicle, mostly now standard in all modern day vehicles. A very great invention, also prevents the brakes from locking when applying brakes in an emergency. Normally, if you apply brakes in an emergency, the front wheels would lock and you'll have no steering. The car would go in the direction the brakes locked in. So if you're going left, it will go left. If you try to steer the car in any direction, it won't go in any direction. It will only go in that direction. So ABS is actually the cadence electronic application of the vehicle. So it's electronic cadence braking. So basically, what it does is, like, you're taking your foot off and onto the brake. It's an electronic application of cadence braking. So cadence braking, in other words, quickly I'll explain. When you apply the brake and release the brake, apply the brake and release the brake, so the brake don't lock. So when you put your foot onto the pedal, you feel that pulsation coming onto your foot and the car braking and coming to a standstill, and you can actually steer the car. So if the ABS light comes on, you only have the electronic application. You'll only have the normal brakes. So Allah forbid, if you have to use an emergency, the car will skid into one direction. So it's always advisable that when the ABS light comes on, treat it seriously and have it checked out, especially in the rainy weather or smooth tire on your vehicle or the rough roads when you're driving.
Okay, very interesting, very important information you just shared with us, Ali. Jazakumullah for that, my brother. Allah reward you. The brother's got a 2001 Mercedes-Benz C240. I did like the one I showed you some time ago. Anyway, he replaced the compressor. He says, I replaced the aircon compressor because I believe the old one is broken. I determined this by taking readings from both the high and the low side. After replacing it, I have the same problem where the compressor doesn't turn on and I can't recharge the system. The wire that goes to the compressor isn't receiving any electricity. What could the problem be? I think this is more electrical. I don't know, maybe you can help.
Jim, the important thing to remember is when doing any air conditioning repairs, it's important to diagnose what is the problem first, because air conditioning repairs, you must remember, it's a luxury on a motor vehicle. It's not a necessity. So that's why any luxury on a motor vehicle is very expensive also to repair, and even to get parts for it, people charge your arm and your leg. Like a normal aircon repair on a vehicle like it can cost you over 10,000. So you can already see how expensive it is. And normally people are buying vehicles like it for 40,000, 50,000, you understand? So to do an aircon repair job really can be expensive. So the diagnostics could be done, and alhamdulillah, with all the technology available today, the diagnostic tool can be plugged in and even can be read on the aircon system, so you can actually tell you where your fault is. So like you're explaining to me now with the brother's vehicle, he probably has an electrical problem, probably coming from the aircon controller or the switch or one of the wiring problems. The most common thing on this car that I can remember is it has a 2-pin plug onto the aircon compressor. The one pin actually bends off and doesn't make contact properly with the other pin on the other side. And that normally people, and the irony is most of it, sometimes you take the compressor out believing it's the compressor because you're not getting the signal coming to the compressor.
Yeah.
And you take the compressor out, you put the new compressor in, and actually you touch the two wires, so they make contact again. All of the time you think it was a compressor, but in all fact it was the two wires not making contact properly. So that's how it works. So motor car diagnostics also very important most of when you're carrying out a task. I always got a habit, when I find the problem, I always tell my guys, let's put the old part back. Let's just check if it was the part. And alhamdulillah, sometimes you put the old part back and you see the old part even starts working. So you tell them, you see, it could have been the wiring. So now maybe when you put the plug back, it's making the contact properly again. Take the plug out again, clean the plug, put it back, and you save the customer a whole lot of money. So in that way, it costs you extra work, but then, you know, in your heart, you actually save the man money and you didn't replace a part. It wasn't needed to be replaced. See, a lot of times you take a car to the mechanic or to the workshop, they replace parts, they're not supposed to replace parts. Unnecessary, they're replacing parts, they're wasting money, unnecessary. I have a habit that if it doesn't need to be replaced, don't replace it. Treat it like your own car. So if it was your car, would you have replaced it? Think and say, yes, I would have, or I wouldn't have. So in that way, you save customers money, you save people money, but they can use it elsewhere.
Okay. All right. Jazakumullah. Abdul Haq is back on the line. We welcome you. Abdul Haq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, for the fourth time, my brother. Are you there?
Maaf, Malana. Can you hear me, Malana?
Gee, Jazakallah for your time. Really, Jazakallah for your time. We're traveling. It's your weekend. It's your holiday. You en route to the Kruger National Park with your family. And we were, you know, persistent on getting about 45 minutes from you. Jazakallah, my brother.
Pleasure. I think Hafiz Abdullah should pull off to the side once up and have a first stop and have some patkos and coffee and then get
Yeah, have some patkos, you know, tell the wives go for a walk and inshallah you can give us about half an hour.
Yeah, no, you see, unfortunately one of the area, I can't do that. I would have loved to have done that, but unfortunately in the area I am in, we can't do that. As far as the Locknut story is concerned, did you manage to finish that that from Brother Adil, or should I continue with that?
All right, no, Adil, to answer that question. It's fine. Jazakallah. Abdul Haq, the question coming through is, my brother, again, we had the question some time ago, I think about 2 months ago, regarding, you know, is it better to fix your engine or is it better to replace it? What is your advice, Abdul Haq? If the car is less than about 12 years old and the person really loves his car and he can't afford to buy another car at this time, would I be correct in saying that the best choice is probably, you know, to repair or to replace the engine? What's the best, my brother, to buy a new engine or to replace an engine? Say, for instance, a Camry. It's going to cost you about maybe 8 grand to fix up, maybe about 12, 13 grand to replace the engine. What is your advice on this?
Gee, Marana, very, very important question, very good question, alhamdulillah. It also depends
Very, very quickly, the question comes in, you know, financially, first of all, and as you said, you know, the driver doesn't have the money to replace the vehicle. Then, yes, it is important to do the engine. Personal preference is, if the engine is repairable, then I would prefer, repairing the engine itself. And I don't know if you've come across the thing, you know, they say, rather the devil you know than the devil you don't know. So it's important that you repair that engine that you can. But in some instances, like, for example, if your Conrod has gone through the block and now the block is not repairable, then yes, of course, it will be advisable to replace the engine itself. Also, the other factor that comes into play as far as time is concerned, because today, if you look at a second-hand engine and you look at a reconditioning engine, the prices are very close to each other. And as far as the reconditioned engine is concerned, alhamdulillah, if it is done properly and professionally, then everything has been done. So it's obviously my personal opinion, again, that to repair the engine would be more advisable than just replacing the engine. And as I said earlier on also, if the engine is repairable, yes, prefer to repair it. The engine reconditions for 8,000 miles, we put that way behind us. Sometimes some of these engines, you can't even buy the parts for 8,000 rand, so don't be fooled. And also importantly, Marana, I say, don't get one opinion. Don't get another opinion, second opinion, third opinion, and gauge it between there. And inshallah, you should come with the correct sort of, or more or less a good idea is what you should be paying for the reconditioning of the engine.
Right, jazakumullah. The brother got a question. Abdul Haq, if you can give us another 5 minutes from a brother, and Adil will take it through to the end of the program.
Inshallah.
Another 7 minutes.
Inshallah.
The brother's got a Golf 2, the old ones, 1992 model. He says too fast and idle speed. So what could be the problem regarding something on the carburetor?
Alright, that would be the old, if that was the old carburetor model, yes, the idle speed. If you've got a problem with the idle speed of the old carburetor model, then yes, that is something to do with the carburetor itself. Maybe one of the links are jammed, or that one didn't have an automatic choke. You had a choke inside the vehicle. If the choke lever is connected to a cable, and the cable is that slided through the actual setting, then also you could have a problem with the idling there or the carburetor itself. But then, Marana, you come with what we call the fuel injection system has got a idle control solenoid. Sometimes the solenoid could be faulty, or else sometimes we take the solenoid out, we clean it up, and with the result, alhamdulillah, that solves the problem. Sometimes you need to actually replace the solenoid. The other culprit that could create the high idling could be a vacuum leak on the inlet system. As far as the inlet manifold is concerned and the vacuum pipes and hoses are concerned, that also is a culprit as far as high idling is concerned, because what happens is it's sucking in more air than it should be, and with the result, obviously, sucking in more fuel also, so that would affect your fuel efficiency, your performance of the vehicle, it's something that you should look at rather urgently as well.
All right, jazakumullah. Adil, the question coming through, it says that what is the cost to replace rear motor mounts? Mercedes-Benz 2005 model. And how many motor mounts are there? Possibly the engine mountings.
There's two motor mounts, if you want to call it motor mounts. Engine mount also is another word we can use. And there's one gearbox mount, transmission mount. To replace them, the OE part, that means the original equipment part, will set in back, it's about 1,900 each for the motor mounts, and the transmission mount will look at about 900 or so, and the labor to do that will look at about 1,000. So that should cover him. There are alternative parts available for that vehicle where you can get the motor mounts for half the price, a good quality one, and there's even a bit of a poorer quality but not bad for about 600 or so. So there is a bit of choice available there as far as it is concerned.
Jazakumullah. Be going further, inshallah. Adi Abdul Haq, what is an intake vacuum, my brother?
Intake vacuum is obviously created by the engine when your air comes into from the air filter into the intake manifold, and that actually goes to get stuck into the engine block where it is mixed, or prior to that, mixed with fuel. So your air-fuel mixture is what goes through into the piston, and what the result, what that creates, it creates a vacuum in the system. So that is where your actual vacuum, intake vacuum comes from, and then it is due to your engine running up and down.
sucking in the air that when the pistons go down, it obviously sucks in air, and that is where it sits, vacuum in the inlet system, and the vacuum also obviously on all the vehicles nowadays, it runs with your brake booster and it runs with all the other stuff as well. So, that is basically what your air intake inlet is, as far as the vacuum is concerned.
Okay. Adil, the question, my brother, it says, okay, if you have limited time, inshallah, just about 5 minutes remaining before we terminate the program. The number to call is 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. And also the SMS address is 0825-80-80-70. 0825-80-70. Adil, with regards to a Honda Accord, the brother says, there's a screeching noise that occurs at startup, but as the brother drives to get speed, he, you know, this ejaculate starts to stop. So what could be the problem, Adil?
Jim, so the common problem on the Honda Accord, when starting up and getting the screeching noise, is coming from the fender, from the power steering wheel. So that is a very common problem. So basically, the brother, to eliminate that problem, you can either replace the belt if it's worn out or too far stretched, or give the belt an adjustment. And he's out for a way, he can go again, most of it will be good to go after they does that. Inshallah, it will be alright.
Okay. Abdul Haq, with regards to Honda Odyssey, I know one of your favorite cars. Do you have to...
I'm sitting in one now,
Molana.
G? I'm sitting in one now.
I thought so, G. The brother says, do you have to flush the transmission, the power steering, and the coolant, and the fuel system fluids every 1.5 to 2 years?
Molana, that is rather too urgent, or rather too quickly, I would say. It is more advisable, as far as your gearbox oil is concerned. I would roughly do that every 60,000 kilometers. The coolant you can last from 3 to 5 years. Power steering don't normally give a problem. We don't normally flush the system. If there is a problem in the system, then obviously, yes, we will look at it. But, you know, if you want to, what you can do is just suck out all the oil from the power steering, I would say once every five years or so, and put in a bit of new oil in there, because like the older Mercedes, they used to come with a filter in the power steering system. But with the newer vehicles now, you don't get any filters in the power steering system, and there is no sort of recommendation as far as replacing the oil is concerned. But I think it is important that in a 5-year period, you know, you just get someone to suck out the oil on there. And yeah, as far as the gearbox is concerned, I've never really heard of a flush on the Honda ones. But yes, from time to time, as I said, every 60,000 kilometers is advisable on the Honda Odyssey. And as far as you keep your oil happy, your gearbox is going to be happy. And if your gearbox is happy, then obviously you're going to be happy.
You're going to be happy, you're going to take the wife for holiday, and she's going to be happy.
Gee, alhamdulillah.
Gee. Adil, a question coming through, my brother. This one's for you. It says, I got a 2007 Mercedes-Benz B200 turbo automatic. Recently, I started hearing the gearbox giving a bit of a hard downshift when stopping, especially between first and second gears. Also, when I put it in reverse, it gives a bit of a harsh sound. There is no jerking or anything, and the car moves quite smoothly. Please advise, is there something I should worry about?
Jim, also, unfortunately, the brother posing the question, it's going to be something he's going to have to worry about. That is a sign of the gearbox giving us some issues, and the only problem is on those vehicles, the gearbox is an issue. It's a 7G Tony gearbox. They call it the 7228 gearbox. It's a very problematic gearbox, very costly to repair also. But there is a few things he can do before. It actually can give a bit of problems. What he can do is he can talk to his technician. He can try and do an oil and filter change and reset the adaptations. On those vehicles, the gearbox resets by driver adaptation. So that basically the gearbox will adapt to the way the driver drives. So basically you have different habits for different drivers. Most of the time I notice that on these vehicles, when the gearboxes give a problem, it's either the guy bought it second hand or there's a few drivers in his family which the gearbox has to adapt. It's actually a very complicated system that they use, Mercedes-Benz, and there is other manufacturers that go the same way. They actually want to have driver adaptation because to get a smoother change for the gearbox, but unfortunately it doesn't really work too well, and that's when all of the gearboxes give you, start giving you all those issues. So basically my advice to him is immediately take it to his technician, let him do a service on the gearbox and reset the adaptations. But while doing that, if there are any signs of any filings in the gearbox,
yeah,
then he must know there are some components or not, then he's going to have to look at the cost factor most.
Right. Jazakumullah, we continue, inshallah. It's 10 to 9. Let's take our last two questions here. Abdul Haq, the brother's got a Nissan Maxima 6-cylinder, 3-litre. He says, thought we had a bad start, so we took it out to have tested. We were told that it was still good, but it could be something that they don't test for. Upon replacing it, we can hear the starter spinning when we turn the key, but it takes a few tries to actually start of the car.
See, one another thing is, the question is coming here, is the starter turning and turning the vehicle or not turning?
Didn't these cars have a problem with the starters?
It was something with the Nissan Maximas, where I actually had somebody that I knew quite well, and he used to do a modification on these starter motors, and alhamdulillah, they were doing much better after the modification was done. Anybody that's sitting with a Nissan Maxima now is generally sitting with a problem, because the parts have become so much more difficult, as far as these components are concerned.
Yeah.
It's not something that you're just going to find. Maybe the oil filter, brake pads, maybe yes, there and there. But when it comes to starter components and that, they're starting to get a bit difficult to find. The other day I had to wait about 6 weeks before I found a distributor cap for one of the Nissan Maximas. In their time they were good cars, but unfortunately they didn't hold too long on the market. Starter motors and those things, yes, you're going to have to look for parts it's a difficult issue. If the brother really has a problem with his Nissan Maxima starter motor, inshallah, when we get back home, he can give us a call and we can put him onto somebody who does some sort of modification on these starters. He should be able to help him, inshallah, with that.
Lovely, jazakallah. Adil, we say jazakallah for the program, jazakallah for the time. May Allah bless you, inshallah, all the best.
Ameen.
And you take care, Adil. We'll talk soon, inshallah.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Number two, we have Abdulhaq. Abdulhaq, jazakallah for your time, my brother. And you're going to the Kruger National Park. Safe travels. Allah grant you a safe journey, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana. Jazakumullah khairan to all the listeners out there. Inshallah, Mawlana, it's possible. If I got the space, I'll bring you a kudu, inshallah.
Yeah, please do, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan.
Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.